I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, cause it's now.
Welcome to Just Another Review Podcast. I'm one of your of your two hosts, Count Shonula.
Ja, and I am number two host Van Roosling. Please send us your emails at jarppodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think about the show or how I may have sucked the life out of your desire to live. Also, we're stalking Instagram now at jarp_podcast.
Oh, very, very well done. Well done.
Well, thank you.
This podcast, I'm going to go back to normal voice now.
You should.
Okay, you can keep going. You're doing really good. This podcast is meant to be an internal companion for you, post-mortem, where we'll be talking and spoiling the plot lines of the first episode of a particular blood streaming series. My accent has gone totally crazy over the last line. We will then rate it and let you know if we're interested in how it tastes.
This episode, we will be reviewing. We will be reviewing the latest trending.
Yeah, it's not easy to keep it up.
It's not good. Yeah, exactly. Okay. The latest trending Halloween themed title from Netflix, Midnight Mass. But alongside this series, we will also be reviewing a movie from our childhood, 1992's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes. And as an added twist to this episode, we're going to duel to the death after about which title is a better horror watch. Episode of Midnight Mass or Francis's Vampire Tale with lots of boobies.
You really liked that part, didn't you? Mm. Yes. Let us... Oh. Let our sermon commence.
All right, we are watching the highly touted Midnight Mass on Netflix. They're calling this a limited 7-episode series. And one thing I noticed about this, it's filmed and farmed in the Lower Mainland. So
Lower Mainland as in Lower Mainland of
Vancouver proper. Yes, and area Vancouver and area. Yes,
we live in the British Columbia, Canada, and that's where this is filmed in Richmond.
Yeah. Stevenson.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like an old abandoned town, isn't it?
A park. It's a park.
I've never been, to be honest with you.
I feel like we should go. Let's do it.
I know where this, we'll get into it, but I know where the church is. I know where the church is. I'll show you the church. You show me Stevenson.
Take me to church. Oh, you've never been to Stevenson?
No, that's what I said.
It's like fish and chips.
Boy. Fish and chips at Stevenson. Let's go.
Let's go.
My family hasn't been either. Okay, we're doing it.
Your family.
Who's in it? Zach Guilford is his real name. He plays the character Riley Flynn. He did a bunch of stuff from Law and Order and Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Kate Siegel.
Have you ever seen Friday Night Lights?
Not the TV show, no, the movie, the Peter Berg movie with Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, yeah.
And I think his name is Lucas Black or whatever.
Lucas Black.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I know some people didn't quite, but I've had to watch it a million times because we always steal. It's a really good sports movie. So working in a sports themed industry, whenever we're kind of trying to gather reference and stuff like that, Friday Night Lights pops up. So I've seen it quite a few times.
It's a blind spot for me. I've never seen the movie or the show, but I should watch it. Yeah.
The show was on for quite a while, so I imagine it's all right.
I've heard it's amazing.
Oh, well, then maybe you should put it on our watch list.
Fine.
It is an older show, but hey, maybe there's other people out there like us that have never seen it.
It's like The Wire.
Oh, I've seen all of The Wire. It's
okay,
so good.
Okay, well, then fuck you then.
Okay, Jesus. Well,
and I apologize for swearing.
There we go. You know, that clink is we add so money to the swear the jar.
Yeah.
You know what? I've actually been thinking about that. It's really topsy-turvied over. You've been doing a lot more swearing.
Oh, really?
Lately. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
The table has turned.
The table has turned. I think we're about even right about now.
Mm.
Anyways, back to Midnight Mass.
Okay.
The female lead, I can only imagine or guess maybe, is Kate Siegel, the love interest of Riley Flynn. And her name is Erin Green. She also... was in the similar stylistic shows, The Haunting of House Hill, which I've seen, and The Haunting of Bly Manor, which I've not seen.
Do you know who Kate is married to?
No. Is she married to the creator of the show, Mike Flanagan?
Yes, she is.
I'm just guessing that because I've got a note here that she's in all of his productions, The Haunting of House Hill, The Bly Manor, and now this one. She plays different characters, but she is acting in all of them, so... Mm-hmm. She, a couple of them do that too. They have Henry Thomas, who I'm going to talk about next, who plays Ed Flynn, the fatherly figure with lots of old man makeup on.
My dad.
You know him as Elliot from E.T. and the Lankly brother that she didn't really want to have sex with from Legends of the Fall. He is Henry Thomas. Yes.
Here we go from Sean's perspective.
Right? Right, like Russ?
Yeah.
Right? She used him to get to Brad Pitt.
He was a stepping stone to Brad Pitt.
She knew it. She knew
I
he
get
was.
It.
She sent him to his death
I get
just
it.
To get Brad Pitt.
I would do right? it too. I understand.
I know.
Believe it.
And to wrap it all up, I mean, obviously there's a lot more people in this, but the main ones, and don't hate me for getting his pronouncing his first name wrong, but maybe. Hamish?
Nah, Hamish.
Hamish? Hamish?
I think you should practice it a little bit more.
Okay. Hamish. Hamish Linklater. I've never heard the name Hamish before.
You never heard the name Hamish before?
No, I guess not. I've been kept in a cardboard box for most of my life.
Or some sort of tomb, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, there you go. Good. Nice one.
Thank you. Thank you.
I've been locked in a coffin this whole time. He plays Father Paul, and... he did a little bit in Monsterland, which was a really interesting series that I checked out. There were it was, I think, 8 or 10 part series, and they were all self-contained episodes. So it didn't matter. It was like Black Mirror. It didn't matter which order you watch them in. They're all self-contained.
But it
was interesting, and they were all really like horror themed. Yeah.
Did you see this on? Where is it?
Monsterland, I believe, is on Crave.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Hamish is also I was trying to reckon
definitely
realize
not Hamish.
Okay, Hamish. Hamish. I found him very recognizable, but I didn't realize what it was from until I started doing research. But he was in The Big Short, and that was where I recognize Hamish from. Can I just call him Hummus?
You can call him Hummus if you want.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm just going to call him Hummus.
You know what, honestly,
and he was
I love Hummus. Everyone listening loves Hummus.
The Newsroom.
I saw The Newsroom and The Big Short. I don't remember Hummus in any of those, but I should rewatch any of those.
I think he's more secondary.
If you were going to have Hummus, would you have it with vegetables? Would you have it with chips? How would you enjoy your Hummus?
Hummus is good with like those pita chips.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Pita chips. Hummus is good on pita bread, pita chips and pita bread. Mm-hmm. I also highly recommend hummus just on the tip of your finger and shove it down your throat. And it's still really good. The more garlic you're going to put, the better.
You're going to put a hummus on the tip of your finger and you shove it down your throat. Is that what you're
saying?
Oh,
did I say tip of my finger?
I think that's what you said. Did you mean something else?
No. What are you thinking about?
It's created by
You're
Mike
gross.
Flanagan.
This guy, yeah.
He created a lot of things, Mike Flanagan.
I imagine this guy's Irish, maybe?
I'm Mike Flanagan.
I created such things as The Haunting of Hill House and Bly Manor.
Super Irish racist.
Yeah. Hey, and Dr. Sleep. I was involved with Dr. Sleep.
Did you watch Dr. Sleep?
I did.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
You know what? My understanding my mild understanding of the world is Stephen King does not like a lot of movies.
He didn't like The Shining at all.
He doesn't like but he does like Dr. Sleep. Oh. Like he appreciates Dr. Sleep more than he likes The Shining. Interesting, eh?
Very interesting.
Stephen King doesn't like a lot of
I wonder what he thinks about his it. Material. Misery. I wonder if he liked Misery.
I will.
That's one someone brought up. I haven't watched that forever. I want to watch we gotta find Misery and get that on the on the docket.
Let's do it.
He was also responsible for Gerald's Game, which was a Netflix movie.
That was recent.
That's another
in the last couple of years.
That's a Stephen King story as well. Yep. Yep, pretty gross at the end there.
Oh really?
Yep.
Should I watch it?
Nope.
Okay, good. I will not watch Gerald's Game.
And again, I've got a note. This guy likes to use the same cast. It's kind of similar to, I know you haven't watched this yet, American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Which season after season, they use the same cast members, but put them in different roles. And it's friggin' awesome, man. It's really can be really wacky and out there, but the production value on that is amazing. If you don't mind horror and a little bit of the gore, I highly recommend American Horror Story. And you can start with season 2, Asylum.
Oh, don't even watch season 1.
No, they're all good. But if you want to get really scared and really...
No, I do not. I don't want to. I don't
you watch really season 2, Asylum, because it scared the shit out of me. It is one creepy, gritty, grimy, scary...
That sounds scary.
Anyways, back to this show, Midnight Mass. This is a tale of a small, isolated island community whose in Richmond. This is... the tale of small island community in Richmond whose existing divisions are amplified by the return of a disgraced young man and the arrival of a charismatic priest. When Father Paul's appearance on Crockett Island coincides with unexplained and seemingly miraculous events, a renewed religious fervor takes hold of the community. But do these miracles come at a price?
Say fervor again.
Fervor.
Nice.
Did I say it wrong when I said
no, I just think more people should say
I didn't write this. Fervor. This was stolen out of IMDb and
IMDb.
I left the word fervor in to make it sound like 100%. I'm a lot smarter than
more
I
people should
am.
Say the word fervor.
Yes, on a I would basis. Never just naturally use the word fervor.
I would never either. I would be too intimidated by the word fervor.
Yeah, because then someone would be like, what's that mean? I'm like,
a renewed
it's from IMDb,
fervor.
Asshole. I really don't know. Yeah. Okay, let's get into it. Episode 1, Book 1, Genesis. Now, Russ, I did write this.
Oh, so my gosh. Sean,
I might actually be able to read this out without stuff.
You are very creative.
Let's see. Here we go. All right.
I'm going to interject throughout.
I know you will.
You're welcome.
Riley Flynn returns home to Crockett Island in Richmond, a small fishing community, after a 4-year stint in jail for vehicular manslaughter.
Say vehicular again.
Vehicular manslaughter.
No, say it better than that.
Vehicular manslaughter.
Good.
Haunted by visions of his dead victim,
ooh, gross.
He tries settling back into Richmond with strong religious ties. With the disappearance of one priest comes another, as a very confident and eerie Father Paul arrives in his place with a large and loud trunk in his possession. Mm. Riley searches for old flings as well as his soul, but he doesn't seem to be... Oh my God, I hit my desk. Riley
take it from the top.
Riley searches for old flings as well as his soul, but doesn't seem to be interested. Russ is interrupting me now. I can't think. Riley interacts with old flings as well as his soul, but doesn't seem to be interested in his religious past. However, he is interested in his sightings of the missing priest amongst a stormy shore filled with washed up felines.
I don't know why you wouldn't be interested in that.
Okay, you totally
you're sounding like it, you're saying it like it's a choice. Like,
what do you mean?
Well, you're saying he's interested in one thing and not the other, but I think the fact is he wakes up, he's in the storm, he looks out the window and there's like a fucking guy in the storm. And of course you're going to be interested in that. Like he doesn't have a choice.
Well, yeah, Russ, it's just how I'm explaining. I'm trying. It's my writing,
Oh, no, of course.
I'm just trying to make it interesting. I know. It's good.
It is very interesting. So this episode.
Wait, you stopped me. I apologize. You stopped me when Riley searches for old flings. You were like, no.
Well, first of all, it's plural, which is wrong. And I don't think Riley comes back to the island searching for old flings. He just released from jail, this man, my dude, and he's going home. He's going to chill at home. He's not searching for anybody.
Well, no, it was just a way for me to say that he's connecting with his old girlfriend, Erin, without me writing two sentences about it. So I just say,
but you're searching. Wrong.
I think you're kind of taking my synopsis wrong. A little too literally.
Here. I apologize.
Okay.
It's
maybe,
wrong.
No. I apologize. Maybe yeah, I should have communicated that. You know, this is my loose interpretation
right.
of I'm saying, how this guy's feeling.
And that's fine. And I'm saying you're wrong. That's fine.
That's fine for me to be wrong.
Yeah. In my perspective, of course, awesome. I could be wrong as well.
Awesome.
So, Sean.
Tell me something I'm right about.
The fact that this show is called Midnight Mass, and the episode one is called Genesis, which is part of the Bible, just like our movie of the of choice, which is Bram Stoker's Dracula.
It's part of the Bible. Bram Stoker's Dracula is part of the Bible.
You know what? A vampire is a creature from the Bible.
Is it really?
I mean, you can interpret that. There is aspects of the Bible that speaks to people with like. Sharp teeth and stuff, and you can make an interpretation that the Bible alludes to vampires, but you could also, which most people would, I'm assuming, who believes in God would say that I am incorrect. But there is biblical references in both of these pieces. So this is episode one, Genesis, Midnight Mass. Which Genesis in the Bible is all about the beginning. So it's all about creation. So this is all about creating our world. And we see Adam and Eve, right? You see.
I never saw Adam and Eve in this show at all. I saw Erin and Riley.
Those are our Adam and Eves. These are our Adam and Eve. So
no, I know. I just had to argue with you about something.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. I'm arguing. We should stop.
Can we call them Erin and Riley then?
Yes, let's get Erin and Riley. Obviously, Adam and Eve. So these are our two characters. So you have to think if the creators are going to call this first episode Genesis, then we have to look at the Bible and we have to think, okay, where are our similarities? So we've got two main characters. Obviously, there's some sort of chemistry going on between these two characters. Obviously, they both sinned. One of these,
she comes back, she's knocked up, and she's got no male partner to go along with it.
And
so
she followed rock and
she
roll.
She was clearly a whore and went out and fucked all of Chicago. And then,
I mean, that's your interpretation.
And then didn't she say she was hanging out with a band? She probably started doing heroin and shit. And then she was like sucking cock in the alleyways. And then she's like, you know what? My neck is really, really sore. I can't keep doing this. I got to go home to fuck it island and just, you know, and
I think it's called Crockett Island.
And have my bastard son in a highly religious community so I can be judged for the rest of my life.
My interpretation is the sin is that she followed rock and roll, because rock and roll is a sin.
It is. It's the devil's music, isn't it?
Thank you very much. Yes, it is. And then for him, he freaking hit. He got drunk and drove a car and hit another car.
Is she okay?
Killed a girl.
Is she gonna be okay? She's okay, right?
Yeah.
She's got like one eye missing.
She's got a half a head missing.
Glass through her fucking forehead.
That was like the grossest shot of the whole show, is the fact that when you look at this body lying on the street, she's got half a head missing. If you look at her head, half of it's gone.
It didn't faze him though, eh? When he'd always see her, you know, as he's trying to fall asleep. You know, we see it a couple times. The first time
he's just
in
haunted by it. He's haunted by it.
Oh, yeah, totally. But he's image. Just, yeah, it's just, he's just, eh?
I think he's no longer the same person he was.
Yeah. This was, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, just like Adam and Eve sinned because they took the apple.
Yeah, you were trying to bring up a point about something.
Well, I'm just making the connection between the fact of the Bible, which is the first part of the Bible called Genesis, and the show episode one called Genesis. I'm just trying to make the connection between the two, is that both of these characters have sinned. And now this is the idea of within Genesis, the first couple of chapters, it's all about the spiral of humanity, which I believe is this island, Crockett Island. It's this freaking... So
Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden for going against God's commands and sinning, right? So is Crockett Island is not the Garden of Eden, is it?
Yeah, I would assume it's not.
Where do you think? Do you think the Garden of Eden was
before
Chicago?
The oil spill?
Because maybe they both fucked off to Chicago.
Maybe. I mean, like, so
although
there's...
I really doubt that God thinks Chicago is the Garden of Eden.
How would you know what God thinks?
I've been to Chicago once. Actually, it's awesome. Beautiful.
Pretty nice city?
Beautiful city.
Have you talked to God about it?
No, but he talks to me when I sleep, and he tells me that I should not talk to you anymore. But I don't listen to him.
When I was...
And
I,
God, no. That's wrong.
When Sean and I used to watch TVs and TVs... When the plural, when we used to hang out as children, I used to say the word Jesus Christ all the time.
Oh yeah. Say
because what? I was a Monty Python fan, and that's, they used to say that all the time. So I guess I,
and let's
I
be honest, you didn't have the religious.
No, I was
parts
raised
in your yeah. family. Like my mom brought to
I was
family,
raised
right?
an atheist versus you. What were you raised as?
Lutheran, Christian, a type of Christianity, obviously.
So if I said
kind
Jesus,
of a lesser form of Catholicism.
Yeah,
my mom
sure
grew up
correct.
Catholic, and then kind of eased up a bit with us and raised us Lutheran.
So right. Your mom would take you to church, but your dad wouldn't. Go
my
to
dad
church.
Would not go. No, no, he Sinner. Was afraid to step foot. He thought.
Do you think
he'd
be burned if he walked
yeah,
into a church?
I believe my dad would. spontaneously combust into flame. And you know what? He probably wouldn't argue with me either. You know, he's probably like, I've tried going to church, but it got really hot and sweaty for me. And I don't know why.
I have to get out. Yeah, so you were raised Lutheran. Mm-hmm. And if I was at your house when we were kids and I said the word Jesus, what would you say to me?
I'd be like, Russ, don't. Yeah, no. But isn't that the crazy thing? Like, I would actually be.
You would be upset.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, now it's like, whatever. But back then, you know. But it wasn't
upset.
It was upset out of fear, though. I was thinking about that because I was fearful for you that, you know, it was just like, but like, what type of God would condemn you to hell just for using a word, especially as a child? You know
God's
what I mean?
God's name in vain, though. I get it. But yeah.
I get it. But if there really is an almighty God that's wonderful and all loving and all this isn't an argument, this is not a debate about whether that exists or not. No,
yeah,
we're not getting into that, but I'm saying, you know, I'm sure they would let it slide when you're 10 years old and you use the Lord's name in vain. So but yeah, as a kid, you know, you're just so scared that, oh my God, you're gonna get sent to hell,
and you were so worried about me, and you would
Go to sleep crying.
Were you worried
at
about
night.
Me, or were you worried about your mom hearing me say the word Jesus? Do you think?
No, I think I was worried about you, and probably a bit about my mom. Like I doubt my you know, my mom was religious, but you know, she wasn't the fist of discipline. Whatever the term is. You know what I mean? Like we
definitely the fist of discipline.
Yeah,
because
whatever.
That's the term.
The hand of discipline?
No, I like the fists of discipline.
The fist of discipline. Good.
Yeah,
yes.
I like it.
But, you know, we could oddly slip in a swear word, not the F word, you know, and you know, my dad would just chuckle, or, you know, my mom would be like, oh, Sean, you know, but, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
you
I
know,
appreciate,
you know,
I appreciate
I think
you being
we should get
me.
A jar for how many times I say, you know.
Okay.
It's
so
amazing.
Stop saying the word. Oh, do you say you know a lot?
Oh, it's just part of my speech pattern, I guess. It's crazy how many things. I'll try and tell you something that you do annoyingly next time I edit the episode. I'm sure there's many things, but
I appreciate that. Thank you.
For me, when you listen to your own voice, you're like, damn,
right.
What did I what,
stop
why
saying?
Why do I keep
that
saying
word.
That? I almost want to put up a thing. Stop
okay.
saying.
Another okay. point. Okay, so
blah, 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 blah.
My thought is with Genesis, when I quickly.
They're a good
review,
band.
Yeah. Paul, no, I was going to say Paul Simon.
Oh my God. Phil Collins on the drums.
Thank
anyway,
you.
Sorry. Let's get back to the show.
Phil Collins. Emily in Paris. Okay. So in Genesis, there's
Rick
this
Ashley.
Whole
idea.
This downward spiral of humanity within Genesis, and then God, and then basically starts with Adam and Eve. They sin. In the world, the humans keep on making mistakes. God's like, all right, reset. He's going to flood, right? And he's going to flood the whole planet, which creates Noah and the ark. So there's this in this episode, there's this idea of a storm.
Yes.
Nice little connection there with the Genesis.
But the storm doesn't wipe out the entire town, only leaving, you know, one cat, one dog, one elephant.
No, but no,
two elephants. They need two, right? They need a hump.
We need, two of them. Two of each animal. Yeah, get in the boat.
They need to hump.
I'm just making the connection.
No. I get it. I totally get it. And they're not going to go literally like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully
yeah,
not. Yeah. But I'm just trying to grab all those connections of
cool
of
parallels, Genesis. Man. You did some research. I like that. Yeah.
Well, I love this. Like, this is what kind of like, this is probably like the best part of this show is the idea of like the pulling from Catholicism or from the Bible that makes me interested in Christianity.
What's good. I'm glad you were interested. I found it a little slow. I liked it, but I did find it a little slow because I knew it was taking its time to set up the characters and all that. And I guess that's to be expected when you're trying to do an 8-9 limited series. You need the first episode to set up the characters. Now, do you think that a mini series can have these first episodes without all this sort of boring character exposition? And if so, what series has done it right? Or you think Midnight Mass has done it right?
I think I honestly think my maybe palette is different than yours. I did not find it boring at all. I did not find it a tedious slaw. I thought it was all interesting. I was looking for more scares, is what I was looking.
You know, it be I was looking to be more scared, but I think, you know, it's more of a setup to the scare, which I'm totally cool with, but I think I was expecting more little scares along the way.
Yeah,
and maybe I didn't find them as scary.
I mean, there's some creepy stuff happening.
I didn't find the Evil Dead POV like when in the island when he was hunting for the cats and shit like that. Like, I get it, but I don't think that's scary. You
know? Sean and I watched Evil Dead 2 in his basement. How old were we when we watched
Evil Dead 2?
Evil Dead 2. Anyways.
I don't know, but I know we saw Army of Darkness at Lougheed Mall, I think prior to Evil Dead 2.
Oh, okay, of course. And so then Army of Darkness would have been like,
it was our introduction to Sam Raimi's Evil Dead franchise. And then we're that's what Evil Dead 2. That's funny, it went backwards.
Right. Well, and I think as he went along, he obviously got more money, and obviously more exposure, more money, more problems,
and more problems.
So we would have watched Evil Dead 2 in your basement, and as all children do, and that's not true, not all children do this, but as all teenagers do, we experimented with some drugs. We did acid and watched Evil Dead 2.
During Evil Dead 2?
Yes. Yes, we did. So my first exposure to Evil Dead 2 was on acid.
Oh.
And that
was awesome.
Oh, I don't know what that was.
Did we go outside after? I bet we must have snuck out and went for a walk after. Yeah, we
You
totally
can't.
Did.
Yeah, I'm sure we did. You can't ingest stay at that Sean's like a regular movie.
And not sneak out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not even a regular movie on its own without LSD. And now throw LSD.
So Sean had, Sean was a basement below ground. How many windows were in your basement? One window.
One window, right? Just one little square,
And maybe five feet up the wall.
Yeah.
And there would be this little square where you would have to crawl through the window. You would have to jump up.
Through gravel.
And then crawl through on the other side would be a gravel. And that's how we would get out.
Yeah,
your parents must have been they would know everything, I guess.
Oh, my dad was deaf as a doornail, so he didn't hear us.
He slept.
My mom might have heard us. Yeah, it's funny. My dad had the nose and my mom had the ears. So, yeah.
Your dad had the nose and your mom had the ears.
I mean, he could you know, my dad couldn't hear us sneaking out and stuff, but he could certainly smell cigarettes on me and you know, and all that, and weed and all that stuff. But
would your dad say I smelt the weed outside?
No, that's funny. He never did. I'm sure he did, but he never said anything. My mom did once.
Sean?
I told her it was sage. What's that smell? It's sage, Mom.
So what,
we were burning it at Summer's house.
And did she didn't say why? Why would you be burning sage?
It was a scent or whatever.
It's like incense.
We didn't get back to my question.
Okay,
what was about your question? About miniseries about? And these exposition episodes. I don't know. I guess it's not really a great topic to talk about. I don't know who's. I'm trying to think who's.
Double guess yourself. Second guess yourself.
I don't know. I mean Yellowstone, but I mean.
You believe
it was an hour and a half long pilot. So yeah. I don't know.
I don't mind exposition. I don't mind. I felt this show did it okay. I felt the show did it fine. Like I was not bored. I am fine with a slow build. You are not as good with a slow build.
I'm not going to say I was bored. I'll take that. I wasn't bored. I was looking for more dips of scares. I was looking for a couple more scares.
You want? Well, it's a show. You gotta. It's like seven episodes here. You gotta chill out. Is it seven episodes? I'm just gonna throw out the number seven.
You know what would be scary? Living on a small island with only 125 other people.
127, you mean?
127.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. I was trying to do the math on that, and that's only like maybe another 20 or 30 families, and they've got like. There's a big fishing warehouse and there's a ferry that comes twice a day. Like that's a lot of ferries for 127 people that probably maybe one or two use the ferry, you know, like I'm sure.
It seemed conveniently set up to enhance the story, but not necessarily what I would believe as if there was an island populated by 127 people, I wouldn't like the fact that there was three teenagers the same age, or four teenagers the same age. I don't think on an island of 127 people, I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the teenagers and all the young adults are the same age. So, you know what? Maybe because of this, maybe they like all got together and they're like, hey, I'm ovulating now. And they all got to, and they wanted to all have babies at the same time.
Let's all go to
and it just kind of became a Crockett Island tradition that, you know, everyone gets pregnant around the same time.
There's a and doctor that way, on Crockett Island. I don't
that way, sure. Everybody has friends growing up. I bet you there's some sort of rhyme and reason to it. Maybe that's, you know, so that it's not the fat, lonely kid eating fish in the corner.
Why does he have to be fat eating fish?
I don't know. Just trying to be offensive, right?
Okay, yeah. So if Sean's offended you, please let us know.
If you're a fat, lonely kid eating fish in a corner listening to this podcast, please reach out. You're not alone. I used to be fat too.
No, you did not. You never were fat.
I was chubby. And so I'm chubby again. So you know, fat kids.
You're not chubby again.
Give me a call sometime. And
I was. Have you seen? Don't call what me. Happened, Brittany Murphy? So on
no,
Crave.
No, I've kind of felt offended. Can you believe me? That they would make a whole fucking series about her.
I don't know if it's only two episodes. I've only watched two episodes. I don't know if it is only. I feel like there's probably only going to be two episodes.
Oh, okay.
Based on the story of it, like an hour each. But so there's one point because Brittany Murphy obviously started off as like a, she seemed more of like the butt of the joke, and then she became kind of like the more of like a leading actress within her films. And there's this bit of that documentary. I watched the two episodes, and there's a bit where Howard Stern is interviewing Ashton Kutcher many years ago, obviously, because Ashton Kutcher is dating Brittany Murphy, as if there was a time that existed. And he is like ramming into her. It's like, oh yeah, she's so fat. Why are you dating her? She's so fat.
Howard Stern was saying that?
And it just, it's a different time, but it made me feel so, it just felt so gross because
she was never fat.
No,
she was like, even in the Clueless franchise, she's cute. And
she was never fat, and that's the point. And you're just like you can't even understand like how we as a society I mean, you watch that documentary, and really, it's just a disgusting depiction of Hollywood. That's the only kind of aspect that I got out of it. That
right,
Hollywood,
I was going to say Hollywood that. Yeah, what's good in watching it?
But there's no. I guess you just kind of be like, oh man, Hollywood fucking sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that, and then I saw that it wasn't just a one-off. And I was like, how do they make a series about this girl's death? And I was like, I don't know if I want to see that. Like, you know, I don't know. I quite enjoyed her as an actress. And
I love
like, her. Let me just let her rest in peace.
Yeah, 100%. And it's
Howard Stern, I mean, he's all right. And I've heard some of his stuff. I mean, he's trying to be offensive because that's what gets his numbers up right. And stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know. The guy's uglier than shit. But, you know, because of his money, he gets supermodels and stuff like that. So he sits back and then makes fun of her. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, who is he to do that? Right.
You know what I mean? But we shouldn't be criticizing anyone on their looks or anything. Like, it's just.
So you're saying I should edit all.
No,
like,
no.
Then that last 10 minutes out. Or that I shouldn't have called Howard Stern.
You shouldn't have called Howard Stern. Like, we're part of the evil in that.
Okay. I take that back. He's really handsome.
No, you don't have to say anything about anything. But just the idea of this guy who had a lot of influence and still has a lot of influence over pop culture. And I don't know what the timing is as far as like his.
Ashton Kutcher should have called him out and said, hey.
And maybe he did. I don't think it wasn't the whole interview, and maybe he did. And I think from the aspects that was shown, what was heard on the interview, I think he did kind of, he definitely didn't agree with Howard. Like, he was just like, you know what, blah, 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 blah. He kind of just pivoted.
What the hell were we talking about? Where is this all going?
I think.
Brittany Murphy. We're talking about the small island. I don't know.
Here we go.
Yeah. Anyways, the island of all the people around the same age, like it must have been some sort of joint effort for everyone to get pregnant around the same time and not stagger the kids out too much. It would probably be, you know, probably it makes sense. Like, if there's only one teacher and one small school, like if she had a whole influx of kids from kindergarten to high school, she'd have to do a whole range of topics and different levels of them and stuff. But if they can sort of keep all the kids within pockets like this, I bet you this is by design, man. It's by design.
It's a fun scenario. It's a nice storytelling element, but it doesn't make sense in reality. I doubt in any island where there's 127 people, there's no doctor, there's no school. Like, they're all basically, maybe there's a church. We live on the coast of Canada here on the West Coast. There's multiple islands, and they all commute, especially any island that has a population of 127. They all commute off the island to go to school, to attend jobs. All that kind of stuff happens outside of the island. So, yeah. But again, we're seeing an island.
But this crocodile's got ultrasounds. I mean... There's probably people, that's probably why they have the ferries. People probably getting on the mainland.
Just to get an ultrasound.
The ferry to come over Crockett Island for an ultrasound. Because
where are you
going to
get your
one.
Ultrasound? I'm going to go to Crockett Island. I guess if anything, it's about the idea that this island is in kind of this downward spiral of losing population. Because they allude to the fact that things were different. Like they
yeah,
had
I think there was a lot more than 127
it.
People at one
right.
point.
There was this oil accident. So there's a lot. Maybe this industry that exists is on the outs, I guess, right. if anything.
Yeah.
So maybe this was once a prosperous island.
Yeah. Or it's just some really shitty writing. Who knows?
But I mean, so you mentioned the idea of all these actors in old age makeup. So my thoughts, and that kind of bothered me a little bit, the fact that you could see
I only
all these
really
actors.
Noticed Henry Thomas, but you, right. you noticed the other two females.
Yes.
His quote unquote mom, who, yeah, you know, kind of when you, it's the visually the age gap doesn't seem enough
no.
between the parents and the this Riley Flynn guy.
So my thought is like, and this is going into predictions here. I think that like potentially future episodes are going to see these guys as younger.
Young, right. Yeah. And that's probably why. Yeah. Yeah. So that they can go back in time, remove the age makeup, and then they look their normal selves right now. And
yeah, because this doctor that's doing the ultrasound, she's got a senile mother who has broken her hip and can't.
She doesn't
go
like storm.
Anymore.
She's like a dog. She like went all ape shit and like. And
that, but that, she's being played by an actress who seems like her name is Alex Esso,
Alex
and
Dogs.
She seems like she's like a 20-year-old actress. So that's all old age makeup. So why they've chosen a 20-year-old actress to play?
Well, I think it's like you say. Part of there you go.
Something's gonna happen.
Rust prediction. They're going back in time.
They're going back in
gonna
time.
Gonna go back in time and go back to the parents and back to this old lady as well. So prediction dress. Okay. Unless you want to
nope.
banter about some more
nope.
stuff.
No,
nope. I'm kind of looking here. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I don't know, the Muslim sheriff and his son. I don't really have too much to add. You know, I'm not obviously their story will come out more in a bit. I'm curious why they moved to the island, especially a highly religious island such as
right.
this. I mean, he must have known about the strong Catholic roots of this island. Yet
America,
yeah, I like they added that. Obviously, the some of the old fashioned town folk. You know, don't mind putting their feet in their mouths there. They're always talking about, you know, what do they call Muhammad or what's the god
right,
that the guy
super, referred. They're super racist.
Yeah, exactly. Like when the storm comes, are you going to jump on the ferry and run over to the mosque kind of thing? And she's
but
you can stay with me if you want. Like yeah. smiling through her teeth. I'm like, you're such a bitch, man. Like,
it's interesting that it is a very Christian focus of a show, but at the same time you've got like the sheriff, the character that like within the context of the town has the most power, and he's a practicing Muslim, so it is yeah
most power, yet he's probably the most segregated from the rest of them, right?
But he yeah. also he, when you watch all the characters, he also feels the most real and the most like you know, he feels he has the most understanding of how the world works versus everybody else as well.
In a weird relationship with that drunk, like kind of at first, you think like the drunk didn't respect him at all and was calling him Sharif instead of Sheriff and all that. But then they kind of had this sort of understanding after the end of their conversation.
But it's again, like this sheriff seems to have like, he understands, he's got patience. He understands like, here's this guy. He's sick. He's got an addiction. It's the same thing. I'm just going to, you know, it is what it is. Like, this is the world that I've volunteered for. And I'm
just
going
to have to
deal with
these people. It's a very empathetic sheriff, which is probably what they need in a small town like that. You know what I mean? Like,
good show.
Predictions.
Here we go. My prediction is there's a lot of narc talk, because the sheriff's son, as we were talking about, he's involved in the two other teenagers who go over to Cat Island. So my thought is something's going to get back to the sheriff. So we'll see, we'll see if there's some sort of discourse between the teenagers.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be like Bear Town then, where the one,
right.
you know, gets totally alienated and beat up because he ratted them out or whatever. But
which if you haven't seen any of HBO Europe series, definitely check out Bear
Shit,
Town
I should,
and 30
I just ruined a real big part of it. Whoops.
My other prediction is they tell a story about Harpoon Harry. Is he real?
I don't know if that's Harpoon Harry that we've seen some of the POV shots of, or is it Monsignor Pruitt? Who Riley and his younger brother Warren have felt that they've seen walking around. Actually, there was the young teenager, Riley's younger brother, mentioned that there's been reports from numerous people in town have seen Monsignor Pruitt walking around at night.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe. But Harpoon Harry's story is a lot older.
Harry.
I don't know. Yeah, is maybe Harpoon same? Harry is real. I don't know.
Well, Senior Pruitt, I would assume, is the one that's in the case.
Mm.
So when we get Paul, who comes over with the Father Paul comes over with the case. I think he's got Monsignor Per. What is his name? Say his
Monsignor name. Pruitt.
Monsignor Pruitt.
Yeah, I had to Google what Monsignor is. It's a different level of priesthood. It's like you've been more appointed. It's like another level up. Like you're the shit.
You've been more appointed, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's kind of feels hard to swear when you're Monsignor talking about priests and stuff. Eh? I think this Father Paul is a bad guy, actually. I don't know. Oh. There's something eerie about him. Although I feel like he should have a painting show on Sunday afternoon, like before I have a nap. And I could just listen to him talk. He has that very soft, calming, flowing voice. I feel like I could just use it for nap time meditation to help me fall asleep. But I think he's bad.
I'm going
to
say Father Paul is good.
Yeah, you
I'm
think
gonna
he's
say,
good.
I'm going to say he's good. I'm going to say that the town or the island itself has kind of...
needs cleansing.
It needs exactly. So right. There's like, and I don't
there
know if
to
there's
do
a
the cleansing.
I don't know if there's a historical piece with Monsieur Puit, where they've been kind of going into like some sort of spiral of evil for the last 10 years, and he needs to come in there and just cleanse it.
I think we're gonna see Monsieur Puit because I saw a picture of him, and I swear it was a recognizable actor.
Oh,
I'm gonna kind of look. I'm gonna kind of look down the IMDb.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, it doesn't even say. Doesn't say Monsignor Pruitt.
Monsignor Pruitt.
I just like saying that. Eh?
Yeah. I mean, I think
it like
you
rolls
should
off
give yourself
the tongue. Nice.
It does not for me.
Monsignor Pruitt. Yeah. No. I think Father Paul's a bad guy. He had that. He brought Monsignor Pruitt back in the trunk and locked him up and. Yeah, he kind of lets him out to eat.
Monsignor Pruitt is a bad guy.
He lets him out to eat some cats once in a while. But if Father Paul's there to cleanse the town, and he's got to do some quote-unquote cleansing, whatever that may be, wouldn't that inadvertently make him kind of bad?
If he's trying to dispel the evil?
Well, what if he's cleansing people that are...
Evil?
Well... Would you say Riley is an evil person?
They've
sure, he's done
sinned.
Some. They've all sinned.
He's
got to
cleanse the
but
sinners.
I think he's okay.
Yeah, he's.
I think if you look at Riley, he's a quote unquote somewhat decent person. Although
the guy
other,
who killed
other
the girl
than ramming
when he
a small girl through her Volkswagen Beetle, but other than that,
like
I think he's trying
guy.
To make repent. What's the friggin' word I'm looking for, you know?
I'm the atheist. I don't know.
Whatever.
Me.
Yeah, well, you seem to know a lot more about the Bible.
Right? I just watch stuff on Google.
Oh, right. Where am I going with this? I don't know where am I going. Oh, right. Well, Father Paul, bad guy. Yeah,
Father
like if he
Paul,
has to
guy.
Say, like, put Riley out of his, cleanse Riley, if that, say, means killing him or whatever. Like,
I don't think it is.
I think that makes Father Paul a bad guy.
I don't think
he's, like, the angel of death coming
no.
in. No, I don't know. I think if Riley was supposed to die,
I
by
think
the
there's
going to
be
God,
some.
He would have died back at the car crash.
I think there's, yeah, exactly. I think there's going to be some friction for the first couple episodes, but I think people aren't going to really know how to take Father Paul. But at the end, Father Paul will be there to cleanse.
Eating
the town.
Cats.
No, I think I think there's a creature, and maybe it's based on the old father who's. Or maybe it's based on the oil spill or based on the evil. There's some sort of... I mean, the fact that all these guys are wearing old age makeup means to me that there's going to be some sort of like 10 years earlier. Like
they do.
We're going to see scenes.
Have you seen
the
other
past.
Haunting of Hill House and the Bly Manor?
No,
I haven't seen Bly
Manor,
but the Haunting of Hill House, it's so well done. They did exactly what you're talking about. Tons. And the whole... Actually, the whole thing went back and forth.
Oh, okay. Periods of time.
Yeah, and they just didn't do it once. They did it all throughout the whole series. So they did this whole episode. I think it was like episode 5 or 6. Sorry, I've just left a penis in my throat.
You don't have to
where
say
they
that.
They gave the illusion that they did it all in one shot, and they went back in time, and they went down floors, but they built this whole. House, the Haunting of Hill House is a whole set. It's not an actual house. It's built so that they could do all these elaborate camera shots. And I'll try and find the behind the scenes of this one episode and send it to you because it's just the amount.
We'll put it on the Instagram. We'll put it on the Instagram.
Yeah, the amount of effort and they must have spent just days choreographing, Yeah, just how to before they even started rolling camera. So, yeah, really amazing. So with that, you know, I guess, you know, I've got some high expectations for this show because, you know.
Yeah, this is just the beginning, man. This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And Father Paul is good.
And you think Father Paul is good. Okay. Well, I think Erin has the devil's spawn in her belly.
I disagree with that.
As it goes on, she will have an early birth, and the baby will come out with bat wings on it. And some of these, you reference these sharp teeth. The baby's going to come out with sharp, sharp teeth.
Nostradamus.
Yeah, and it's going to be like, and then a whole tribe of these ancient horsemen guys. And Van Helsing, like he's going to come from Romania and they're going to come travel onto Crockett Island and they're going to behead the girl first and then the bat will fly away. Then they have to travel to Transylvania and try and capture this bat. Like the show's going to get fucking crazy.
So this is a prequel
crazy.
To Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, right. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah. That's what I predict.
Oh,
well, I'm allowed to predict whatever I want.
You be you, boo.
You can't tell me what to do. That's my favorite line from my daughter. You can't tell me what to do.
But you can because you're her father.
Well, you can try. I think the word is try. I'm just kidding. Who knows what's coming out of Aaron's belly there.
There is no try.
Billy Idol's kid. That's it. Billy Idol's kid is coming out of her belly. She fucked Billy Idol back in the day. That's it.
I mean,
that's it.
I mean, good for you.
In the midnight hour, she wants more of my dick, you know. So she can get pregnant, have a bastard son, and more.
You could have sang that. You could have sang that song without saying your dick.
Well, I don't. You know, okay.
This shit is awesome.
This is where we rate the show. We give it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 jarps. One of the jarps. We can also give it a point something if we want. 1 meaning we don't really care too much about the show, and 5 meaning it's amazing. I gave it 3.5. I felt this was the right kind of scary for me, Russ, who doesn't really enjoy scary shows too much. I don't like to be scared.
No, yeah, I was nervous for you. On this
thank you very much. I haven't seen any of the...
But you don't have to watch the rest. That's the thing. I can watch the rest for you.
No, I am... here's the thing. I'm going to watch the rest because I enjoyed the slow build of episode 1, Genesis. I liked the lore, the biblical pulls. I enjoyed all the characters, the baggage that all those did. I thought all the actors did a good job. I specifically liked Hamish Linklater. I thought he was very funny. Hamish. I thought he was funny, creepy, and comforting all at the same time. I also liked Samantha Sloyan, who was the kind of the clerical clergy nun, I guess, of some sort. I thought although we've seen that kind of... cliche before, I thought she did a really good job of
the hoity-toity,
her surface niceties. The old age makeup kind of bothered me because I felt they here are these actors playing old. I didn't believe that they were old. I believed that they were actors playing old,
right?
Which to me was
sold on it.
I wasn't sold. So if someone just said this is the only show, the only episode, I would have been like, that would have bothered me. But I'm anticipating that this is going to get better and that this will redeem itself in some way. So I'll deal with the fact that there's these young actors pretending to be old. And I definitely was not intending to like the show, but I did enjoy it. I was as I was watching, I'm like, oh man, I like this show, and I was excited to watch the second episode, and I still am. It's definitely stuck with me because we watched it a week ago, and I'm excited to watch episode 2 after we record this episode.
Well, good. Again, I'm pleasantly surprised. Like I said, you're not usually you don't like being scared or whatever, and I'd never seen it, so I didn't know how scary it was going to be, or if it was going to be gory or
it wasn't
what.
That scary.
But yeah, no, I'm glad you liked it. I didn't mind it. I liked it. I didn't love it. I gave it a 3. Just a little bit below you. I found the show eerie, but I was never scared. And at least not yet. You know, we both believe that it's coming, right? The buzz on the street that this is a really good series, so I am excited to keep going, but it's hence why I picked it. But if I didn't know any better, I wouldn't have been too thrilled to head on to episode 2, meaning it was just okay. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be chomping at it. If I am, though, because I know that it's supposed to be really good. So I expect.
If you didn't, if no one said, Sean, this is a good show, you wouldn't watch episode 2.
Yeah. No, probably not. Maybe not. Yeah. I thought the production value was good. Again, I saw The Haunting of House Hill and the level quality of that was insane. So I expect similar stuff on this. You know, I do expect bigger things from your series. But as we do on this show, we do only rate the first episode apart from the rest of the series. So I only
watched the first episode.
Well, exactly. But I've only found it roughly mediocre at best, a little bit better than average. But I have a strong belief that my 3, by the time we go up, finish the series, would probably be more like a 3.5 or 4. But again, we're just looking at the first.
We're just looking at just the first.
So all my friends who've watched, who hopefully are listening to the podcast.
You have friends?
No. But anybody listening that loves this, don't flame on me, okay? It's just like, burn me down. Like, give me burns. Like, burn me. Flame me. Burn me. It's don't just, flame me. I'm rating the first episode. I know the show's friggin' awesome.
You don't know yet.
I don't know.
But you've only watched episode 1.
I'm just trying to keep them from showing up at so my people house have told, with you've, pitchforks,
you've,
okay?
You've talked to enough people that are like, dude, this series is amazing. And so you're afraid of offending those people.
That's right.
Oh, that's nice.
The 2 friends I have.
Oh, well. That's 2 is better than none.
You want to throw up?
Okay.
Yeah, so temperature check is when we look back at the series that we've already rated. I'm watching Shadow and Bone. I'm just starting the last episode of the first season. And I will let you know at the next episode my overall feeling of the whole show. Nice. The whole first season, at least. Nice. Sean, how's Heels going?
Heels, it's dragging out. It's dragging me by my heels, buddy.
Oh,
getting dragged by the heels. I whipped off episode 3. Was it yesterday? I think yesterday. Oh. I decided.
Was it any better than episode 2?
No, it's about the same thing. Rinse, recycle, repeat. The brothers fight. The same show old, ends with a wrestling match in which the brothers argue about. And yeah, so nothing's really progressing too much. So we'll see. Again, I'll probably take my sweet ass time with it, just like you are.
Do you know Shadow what we both? You know what we both like, though?
Dave. We did. We loved it, didn't we?
You know what we both have done? If we both have completed the first 2 seasons of Dave.
Yeah, we binged the shit out of that,
We went right away. Yeah. Folks, if you haven't watched Dave on FX, we recommend it.
Highly recommend it.
Great show. I'm going to, again, say probably the best show that we've ever
talked
about.
And I'm going to rescind my comment on that and quite possibly agree so far. Yeah. I think that, you know, between the two of us liking it so much, I think Dave is our highest, most enjoyed show thus far. So.
Yeah, it's
we both
beautiful.
Really liked Yellowstone, but you didn't like it enough to even finish the first season yet. Yet I really liked it. I binged it.
You know what? Everyone I talked to about Yellowstone loves Yellowstone. I couldn't get through the first couple episodes.
And that's fine.
It's fine. It is fine. It is
fine. But you know what? Because you gave us Dave, right?
You know what? I think Jason gave us Dave. You know what?
But you know what I mean? You picked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know what? It's clever. It's complex. It's
very honest.
It's honest. It's genuine.
Yeah.
There is just so many nice, but at the same time, it's entertainment. It's you're laughing.
Oh, it's like you said, and then the final episode of season 2. I watched the last 10 minutes a couple times. And you're totally.
Brought a tear to your eyes.
Totally. Yeah. And it's just got such a really nice story to it. Really nice
good
story
TV.
To it. It's not just stupid potty humor. It's actually got, you know, story
it's
with
and
meaning
farts, really.
And morals.
Sticks and farts.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a dick and fart guy. Yeah. Dave Bird. Here we go, media rewind. We're going back in time where Sean and I would watch. Okay, did we watch this in theaters? Did we claim that?
I watched this in the theater, yes. I don't know if you were with me. I was on a bit of, I don't know if it was a date night or if we were just with a couple girls.
You took a date to this movie?
No, I don't know if I took a date. I know Lisa, yeah, I'm trying not to use last names.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. We can just blop them out. Yeah, I believe went with Lisa and Carrie.
A girl named Lisa.
And Carrie.
You went to Lisa and Carrie with this movie? Okay, so in 1990,
maybe you were there. I don't know.
It was the end of 92. So you know where you and I were in grade 9. Are you looking at the camera?
No, I'm just thinking. Oh,
I'm showing you our yearbook.
Okay, yep.
We were in grade 9 in 1992. 1992 and 1993, we were in grade 9.
I've got a feeling this came out at Christmas time in 1992.
In November. I think it dropped in November.
I bet I saw this in January.
Bram Stoker's Dracula. That's what we're talking about, people. Yes. We're talking about Francis Ford Coppola. We're talking about Gary
Bram
Oldman.
Bram Stoker's.
Winona Ryder.
It should be called Bram Stoker's Dracula.
What a joke. Keanu Reeves. Richard E. Grant. Cary Elwes. Sir Anthony Hopkins. How many movies can we review with Anthony Hopkins?
I don't know. It feels like every throwback movie has Anthony Hopkins.
I mean, he was the man. Same year as Howard's End. Howard's End. Great flick.
Never seen it. Never will.
What?
Don't care.
Oh my God. I had it on VHS.
Did you?
Howard's End
on repeat? Did you have the poster?
Howard's End.
Did you have the underwear?
I wish.
Did you have the Howard's End action figure?
I had the Howard's End action
figure. And in the bath, correct. You stuck it up your butt, didn't you, Russ? I knew it.
Is that what you do with action figures?
That's what some people do with action figures. I don't know. I mean, I was allowed action figures in our Lutheran household. Only atheists were allowed action figures growing up.
Now that I know. Tell
Gary
me about
Oldman,
this.
How did he not win an Oscar for this? Do you agree that he was totally Oscar?
He's
like,
amazing.
The old and the young Dracula, and then the prosthetic. He was the guy in all as the bat and shit like that. Like,
yeah,
like crazy. How did he not even like art direction, makeup? I even think like sound
design. Costume design won an Oscar. Makeup won an Oscar. Sound effect editing won an Oscar. So the movie did well. Like it won 3 Oscars.
I feel those are the Oscars they give them to the movies that they just don't want to give the director or the actors any nods. So it's like, you know, oh, we're going to get totally thrown under the bus if we don't give this movie. Let's give them best sound design or I don't know. Although
I think it's just
great.
It's too far ahead of the Academy to even like recognize how good it is. I think they kind of go with a little bit more safer choices at the time.
Too much blood is too... Maybe.
But
maybe
yeah.
They consider it too much of a horror movie.
Gary Oldman.
Would you consider this a horror movie?
I would consider it horror romance.
Yeah,
sure.
It is a horror. It definitely falls under the horror.
Horror.
But it's not... Yeah, it's not your typical horror.
You know
movie.
What it is? It's a
it's
horror...
like a fairy tale.
Horny movie.
Horny.
It is super.
That's why I said Bram Stoker's.
It is
Dracula.
Super. So we were in grade 9. I don't know how long I haven't seen this movie. So the whole movie came flooding back to me. It is. I think this might have been like a freaking eye awakening thing for me when I think back to this freaking. Like, it is so sexual, and there's so many crazy scenes.
I think we saw it at a time when we were really...
Oh, of course.
Awakening like, sexually. You sure. know, a 14, 15, 16 years old, you know.
Yeah. 14, 15, and 16.
We were starting to play with ourselves and experiment. You know, you were wearing some really weird clothes at school. We didn't want to tell you at the time, but, you know, now I think it's that we're a little older. It's safe to say, like, were you thinking wearing those fishnet stockings, dude?
We were playing with ourselves.
I was behind the bleachers during the wrestling tournament.
And I was
no,
wrestling.
I'm not, just kidding. You always hear the folklore of the one guy who's masturbating behind the bleachers during some sort of sports tournament.
I'm
trying to forget what his name was.
I don't know. Would that happened in our school?
There was a story that someone did it. I'm trying to remember his name. I don't know.
That was so embarrassing. I was in wrestling in grade 8. Those grade 8 outfits, wrestling outfits that you have to wear. Singlets? Super
tights. Oh my God. Like, why can't we just wear shorts and a tank top?
I don't
know. Why do you have to wear that shit?
And I don't know what, because I was in wrestling in grade.
I was in wrestling too. We got coerced by Mr. Lemon to join the wrestling.
Is that what it was? I'm like, where did we?
Hang on.
Okay.
I'm okay. No, my bad. He's just starting to die. No, me and you got recruited by Mr. Lemon to join the.
So
we
said, okay. PE teacher?
Yeah, he was one of the main PE teachers.
And did he tell us what we had to wear? We wouldn't have known.
I don't think we knew until it was okay, competition, guys, this is where we got to go. And then
put on these tights, by the way. Like the worst outfit to wear for kids going through puberty and super self-conscious. Like it didn't, especially for me, and I'm not going to speak for you. I'm not a physical guy. I wasn't an aggressive kid. I didn't care. I didn't want to beat on people. I had no aggression. I was just super unsure of myself. Like I didn't want to wear that.
I didn't want something to show off my little baby dick. I mean, come on. I didn't want to run around in grade 8. These guys are huge than me. They got these giant Johnsons hanging out of these singlets and I'm walking around. It's like, hey, what's up with that guy? He should be in grade fucking 5, you know, when I'm really in grade 12. You know?
Did we have to wrestle in front of the school? Or was there wrestling tournaments?
We went to SFU for a tournament.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did. We went for the day. How can you not? I'm the one that smokes all the weed yet remembers all this stuff. I don't know.
I think
hard
memory.
Alcohol must do something
maybe,
to memory.
Maybe. I'm a drinker and you're
Hang
a smoker.
On, I need new. Tell them a funny story. I need new batteries for my headphones. Okay.
Okay. I don't. I'm sorry, everybody. I don't have a funny story that I can think of right now. But let me tell you that this Bram Stoker's Dracula has some crazy ass scenes. It probably impacted both of us. When you talk about toxic masculinity, or we talk about, you know, the misconceptions of what a relationship is all about. I mean, maybe this shit stemmed all that. I don't know. Impressionistic minds of young adolescents. I don't know if Dracula is the best place to start. But
sure stuck with me for a while, I'll tell you that much. Lots of good imagery to pull from when you're a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I'm sure I had the VHS, but I could be wrong.
You wore out the VHS. That's what I'm sure. Russ, why does the scene where the sirens are doesn't work anymore? It's all glitchy and the tracking doesn't work.
No one's talking to me about my VHS.
All the boobs are
Russ.
I had
all my VHSs in my own bedroom.
In
no
the
one
booby
touched my
scene.
VHSs. I had a TV and a VCR in my own room. No one talked to me about it.
Doesn't work at the movie scene anymore.
I subscribed to that VHS club or what was
oh,
that called?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Columbia House.
The Columbia House.
We talked about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, we've already talked about this? So
yeah.
I did. So where you pick, do you pick seven VHSs for a certain amount? And then you got to pay.
For 3 years, you've got to deal with their shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Bram Stoker's Dracula was one of them. But yeah, super horny horror movie. Horny horror.
I really enjoyed going back and watching this as you know, I went to film school, so kind of looking at the technical aspects of this, just seeing how traditional this film was. Like I mentioned to you before we started the podcast, matte paintings using miniatures, practical effects, everything. Yeah. There was not one optical effect in the movie other than that blue flame ring. That was the only
blue flame.
Yeah, the blue flame force field thingy. And honestly, it was the worst effect in the entire movie, and we could probably do without it. But yeah, I find it funny that the worst looking effect was the only digital/optical one that they actually did.
It
goes to show. And that's what I mean. Because he filmed it so traditionally,
A lot of old style film techniques. That was one of Francis Ford Coppola's approaches to it, for sure.
I feel like this film could be locked in a vault and you could watch it 50 years from now and it'll still have the same vibe. Like, it doesn't really date. You don't watch this and be like, oh yeah, this came from the 90s. Like, the only way you would really know it is from the actors themselves, right? But, you know, the style of it, it's totally all on its own. Like I said, I find it a fairy tale, fable-like made movie that will definitely last for many
years and the come. Score, the soundtrack, it just kills. It's just amazing. Like, it just brought back so many memories, just like how that just made the whole movie and how it stuck with me. And I think that soundtrack, or at least that music, was kind of used over and over again.
It was really good. And the Anthony Hopkins sort of narrating pieces underneath and stuff. Yeah. The Dracul. I guess Gary Oldman went and got some voice training so that he could drop his voice an octave for when he was playing the old Dracula there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You know him. He puts everything into his roles. And yeah, so he went and got some voice coaching and shit like that.
Well, I think he would screw himself because he was just like, he would like stick around like for weeks before they would start filming and just talk to the makeup crew and talk to the costume crew. And like, he would be part of like design of all that. Like you said, like he was part of like looking like that beast and the bat and all those creatures. And that was part of him just being there so early and just being a part of that whole creation. He had to live it. And he participated in the creation of all that kind of stuff, which was amazing. Super freaky and scary. Definitely worth the sake. And Tom Waits, he was kind of like the guy in the jail. As a kid, he rubbed me the wrong way. I just kind of felt he was just too creepy to kind of deal
master.
With. And he still is. Yeah. But like, what a great actor.
He's good for that role.
He was good for that role. And he's amazing in the Ballad of Buster Scruggs as the prospector. So more kudos to Tom Waits, I'm sure he deserves it.
Nice.
I don't know much about Tom Waits music, but I should probably.
I think he was really popular back in the 70s. He's
probably still is. Let's play a little bit Tom Waits right now. Outside another yellow moon. Upon the wall in the nighttime, yes. I climb to the window and down to the street. I'm shining like a new diamond. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
You like that?
Yeah, I like
that. Tom Waits. A bit of a Star Wars connection to this movie.
George Lucas.
I guess Lucas helped him with the ending and you know, you think Lucas doing all the family films wouldn't suggest a decapitation at the ending, but that's exactly what he did. He felt that Mina needed to decapitate Dracula to really finally release him at the end of the movie. And I totally agree.
Great call. Yeah,
good call, George. So Coppola went back and filmed that scene with only 3 weeks before the movie's release. So yeah. A
very nice, strong.
Thanks, George. Thanks, George. And I agree. I made the unfortunate mistake of watching the latest Halloween movie lately just for shits and giggles.
Halloween Kills, like the one that just came out?
Yeah. Yeah. I really feel the only way to truly kill some of these monsters is you gotta take their heads off, man. Like,
you gotta fucking put a stake in their heart.
If someone had just chopped off Michael Myers' head in the first Halloween, there wouldn't have been any more. I mean,
is this spoilers for Halloween Kills?
No. But I'm saying, this is spoilers for Dracula. George's.
Well, you're alluding to Dracula Kills.
George's suggestion to
Dracula Kills
to chop his head. I'm saying, it was a good suggestion because I feel the only way. If you don't chop their head off, they're going to come back. You know?
Yeah, I believe it. It's like a zombie. Does Jamie Lee Curtis die in the most recent Halloween Kills movie?
No, she does not.
So she's ready for next one. Bring it on.
Of course.
Bring it on, Donkey Kong. Francis Ford Coppola.
Francis Ford Coppola. He did. Yeah, he's done many other really good movies. Lots of really long movies, right? Epics. Yeah. Godfathers 1, 2, 3. Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, and I love Apocalypse Now. As far as films go, I don't know what would you rather watch. Would you rather watch Apocalypse Now, or would you rather watch Bram Stoker's Dracula, or would you rather watch something else?
Out of all of Francis Ford Coppola's movies, I think I'd rather watch this movie.
Oh,
I'm not going to say that this is his best movie as far as like awards or craftsmanship. Although this is such a well crafted movie, I don't know. This should not be under the radar as far as that's concerned, you know? Yeah, I think this is, for me, his probably most watchable movie. He's got some other great movies too, but Like I said, they're long. They take kind of, sometimes you need to take a break in the middle or even split it up in a couple days or whatever. But this, but Dracula, this was great. This was a,
I mean, up for
a bit of a roller coaster ride. Not a roller coaster ride.
Oh, up and ups and downs.
I think so. It was, this was quite an adventure, you know, once they start sort of hunting them, you know, it was a bit of an adventure, right?
So it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a super fun movie.
It moves along. It moves along. I don't feel it drags.
No.
And when it does slow down, there's something creepy going on, or you can appreciate the acting, or
it's super cheesy and you just have to laugh.
Yeah. Well, I didn't find that too much, but whatever.
You didn't find Winona Ryder or Keanu Reeves cheesy?
No, I mean, yeah, Keanu Reeves maybe a little bit, but I think I kind of gave him a pass. I kind of gave him a real good pass on his acting.
He got slammed for his English accent.
He even slammed himself on this. Supposedly, he had done a whole bunch of movies in a row, and he was just exhausted, and he took this role on, and he says he just had... He says he really slammed himself. He says he had nothing really in the gas tank to give to this role. So it's, he doesn't really blame the critics for saying how flat he was. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it sounded like I saw an interview where he tried too hard. Francis Ford Coppola was just like, he was just trying to get to nail it without, he wasn't relaxing and just kind of like saying it naturally. He was just trying to nail the accent too much, where he just didn't,
probably more focused on the accent than actual acting itself,
and
delivering the lines. He was just focused on how his voice was and wasn't thinking about his
So Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey was in 1991, a year before Bram Stoker's Dracula was released. So you see this Keanu Reeves. You see Parenthood, you see Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, you see Point Break, and you see Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And so
he's been doing nothing but the surfer accent.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So you kind of get into this English accent.
Oh, dude. I'm English. I'm English, Bill. Excellent. I can't even do it. I don't know. I can only imagine how much he struggled, because, you know, I'm just so much of a better actor.
What do you think happened after Jonathan, played by Keanu Reeves, and Mina, played by...
Hopefully he gave her the boot, man. You think
Winona Ryder, who played Mina...
She kind of wishy-washied and two-timed him, man. After she married him, then she decides to go for the dark emo man, right? Instead of
She's reincarnated, so she is still... She's this like long lost love of Dracula.
I get it, but course, she kind like, of had internally those inklings and knowledge before she ran off and got, because she even wrote Dracula a note saying, "Oh, I'm gonna off and I won't see you again, my love," and blah blah. You know what? If you had, you shouldn't have married him then to begin with. You know, put the pussy away and save it for another day.
Mina, it's me, Jonathan.
Whoa. You fuck the vampire.
Jonathan, he's not a vampire. He's Dracula.
He's got feelings, Jonathan.
Whoa.
He protected the church, and then the church betrayed him, and then he sacrificed everything for me.
Don't you think he's kind of got a hairy back?
He's a beast. Why do you think beast?
Why can he? Why is he a beast and a bat and a Dracula? Why is he all those things?
He is like the endowment of evil and darkness. So things like wolves, beasts, bats, rats, snakes,
everything, anything he wants to be. Vampires are super sexy,
except elephants. All about... I don't think he could be an elephant if he wanted to.
Are elephants sexy?
I'm sure. Two other elephants.
Would you think a trunk? Would you think a big,
bigger, big trunk, the bigger the trunk? Sexy? You know what, Russ? It doesn't matter how big your trunk is. It's just
so a small elephant. You'd be okay with a small elephant.
Sure, I'd be fine with a small trunk. Why did he waste so much time with her friend Lucy when Mina was right there? Why didn't he put all that effort
and
energy into into Mina? Why the stepping stone?
I think
stone
Lucy
with
was the gateway drug. Lucy was the gateway drug. I think.
You think she was a test, maybe, or
I think, or that was the way of like. So again, like vampires are so fucking sexy. Like that's how they crossed the road. How did a vampire cross the road?
Maybe
by
that
being
was his
sexy?
Side chick, right?
I don't think it. Think it's Mina, an entrance.
Lucy was his side chick, and Mina...
Lucy was looking for love. Lucy was like, "Hey, I'm looking for love. I'm courting. I've got three guys in mind. I'm kind of like, I'm ready to like, you know, I'm ready to just like, you know, just kind of be me and just kind of get out there." And so she was ready. She was willing. She was opening the door. She's like, "Bring me love," and like Dracula.
She's doing
like,
more than opening the door.
I've got love for you, Lucy. And so she was ready for it. So I think
she was ready in that. Yeah, and that garden scene.
Because that's
her garden was ready for seed planting, right?
I mean, because vampires are all about fucking sex, so they're just all about being sexy and like, hey, you want sex? Then this is what I got for you. I mean, that's why it's so alluring. That's why we like vampires. We're like,
you think vampires ejaculate?
Yes.
And if so, does it have reproductive properties? Could you have vampire babies?
No. Can't have vampire babies. Okay. No.
They've got fluid, but not. Oof,
good questions. These are
because
really good
dead.
Questions.
Because they're dead. He's dead.
Right.
His heart
right,
doesn't even
right.
beat. Do right. his testicles pulse?
Oh, my God. I don't think he ejaculates. I think you're right. I don't think vampires ejaculate. They can't. I think you're right. They can't. But maybe they just internally ejaculate? I mean, this. Do they think
know.
They? Do you think they go?
Oh, my stomach hurts! Damn it!
And then
they just
kinda,
get blue-balled all the time.
I don't know. I mean, there must be some sort of release. Is there ever release? Maybe because that's why they're perpetually
horny. Are they ever
sad?
Yeah. Are
they
ever
never,
satisfied? They never get fully released. Right?
They never release. They never feel like this tinge of guilt afterwards. They just kind of keep going.
They never climax. It's always...
And if you think about the scenes with Keanu Reeves and like the Dracula's brides, the three women, like it's just constant kind of just sexual activity. There's no ever like a moment of climax necessarily. Interesting.
Yeah, they like just... Concept. And they just... It's like they do it in waves, right? They never stop. They just...
Right.
Yeah, let them recoup and then suck them dry again.
It's like, what is that tantra kind of? Tantra sex? Is that what it is?
Yep. Karma Sutra.
Karma Sutra. Maybe the vampires wrote the book of Karma Sutra. Maybe that's...
Probably. I don't know. You see those two that were kind of stuck together when they got scared off. That was kind of a weird formation, man.
Horny horror. Horny horror. That's what that is.
Yeah, that was weird. Weird. Anyways, Dracula.
Go
good
watch
movie.
It.
Good throwback.
Go watch it a couple times.
Totally holds up. Totally holds up. Lots of good masturbation material in that movie.
I mean,
if you're 15.
If you're 15, not for adults.
No. No. Definitely not when you're an adult.
Not for adults.
No.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.